As the energy crisis deepens in Europe, Unbowered Gosh has announced an operating profit of nearly 40 million euro in 2022, and that's an incredible 74% increase on the previous year. Irish consumers are meanwhile being told to brace themselves for a tough winter ahead. Could we really be facing price hikes of 50% in our heating bills this winter, as some suggest? How secure is our gas supply? Could supply be reduced? Could there be a complete blackout at points this year? Well, Gerry Duggan is a veteran of the Irish energy sector, formerly of ESB, and now a fellow of the Irish Academy of Engineering, and he joins me now. Gerry, you're very welcome to the programme.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
There is pressure on energy supply everywhere, in Europe certainly, and further afield. And it just begs the question about energy security here come this winter. We get our gas, for example, from the UK. Isn't that right? A lot of it. Could that be in jeopardy, in your opinion?
Well, this year it's projected that we'll get 75% of our gas via the UK. Now, at the in the short term, there is no risk to supplies here, because the UK is in fact exporting quite a significant amount of gas to continental Europe at this stage. It has good LNG import facilities, and these are being used to redirect gas to Europe, because the price of LNG in Europe is now much higher than it is in the Far East. Mm-hmm. Now, which is a reversal of the historic situation. Later in the year, the UK, as the heating season comes on, and the UK has a very extensive amount of home heating by using gas, then the UK traditionally imported gas from continental Europe. And at that stage, the situation could get significantly more difficult.
Are you saying from September, roughly?
Well, probably closer to November.
Okay, so from November...
From November through to kind of the end of the heating season, which might be March, or depending on the weather.
So let's discuss.
It could be quite difficult in that situation.
Okay, so let's discuss why it could be difficult. You're saying traditionally the UK could import energy from Europe. That may no longer be the case, is that right?
Well, it would almost certainly not be the case if Europe is facing the shortages they're projecting on continental Europe at this stage.
And what are the consequences then for us in that regard?
Insofar as the UK can import additional quantities of LNG, we should be protected. But there is a risk, I believe, in that while the continent is limited in the number of LNG deliveries it can take for various technical reasons, about a significant portion of the UK's gas imports come from Norway. And that... If there's a shortage in Europe, it's almost inevitable that the EU and the various countries in continental Europe will approach Norway and say, please give us more gas. And in that situation, it's not clear what the attitude of the Norwegian government would be, even if the gas had been contracted to the UK.
Why? What's the risk?
Well, the risk is political. Effectively, Norway has a much closer relationship with the EU than the UK now has. And supplies a substantial quantity of gas to Europe in the normal course of business. So it's a political call, and, it's impossible to call.
Okay, but so we traditionally get our gas from the UK. What if the UK...
imports half of its gas requirements.
Okay, so you're saying, what if Norway says, sorry UK, we're going to do business with the EU mostly, given there's a shortage there. Could we not get our gas from the EU? Is there no way to do that?
Well, if the EU is short of gas, they're not going to be giving it away. And certainly not going through the UK to here.
Even if we're within the European Union ourselves?
Yes, I think... you can take it that is unlikely to happen.
You're kind of scenario planning here. How likely is this to happen?
Well, you can't put a probability on it. What you're talking about is exposures and what steps we take to limit our potential disruption in the event of such an event materializing.
But you can't put a probability on it, but there are shortages in Europe. There may be shortages in the UK. You say they're good for the short term. But that's up until October, November. That's pretty short term to me.
Yes.
So there is an amber risk, at least, is there?
Yeah, well, certainly for what are called interruptible customers, and they account for a much larger proportion of demand in Ireland than in Britain. These would be the electricity sector, which in Ireland's case is heavily dependent on gas, and some of the larger industrial sectors. They could be more exposed to being cut off, I would say. I mean, the domestic end will be protected in as far as is possible.
And what does that mean?
Well, it means that there mightn't be gas for electricity generation, in which case, okay, the electricity generation we get from gas, we would then have to use gas oil instead of it.
Is there a risk of blackouts this winter?
Even before all of this happened, there was a concern about capacity. But there is an increased risk of blackouts this winter if, for whatever reason, we're not able to get sufficient distillate supplies to the power stations
in
the event of a gas shortfall.
In your experience, Jerry, how long would a blackout, if it were to happen, how long would it go on for?
You're not talking necessarily a full blackout all the time because, as you know, electricity demand goes up and down during the day.
Yeah.
So you may be better off, you know, outside of the peak hours than you are at the peak hours.
So you could be told, for example, electricity won't be in operation between the hours of X and Y, is that it?
Well, in the past, now it was always due to industrial relations disputes, but that has happened in the past and it could happen again.
And would, you were saying domestic households basically would be protected?
Well, in terms of gas, for technical reasons, you really have to keep the household sector supplied.
What about
because
schools?
Otherwise you have a major problem. In the case of electricity, the household sector can be cut off because there are no problems in reconnecting them.
What about schools and hospitals and the like, and hospices, for example?
Well, hospitals would be deemed non-interruptible.
So they would have a supply no matter what?
That would be, I mean, hospitals would normally be considered extremely high on any, risk list.
Okay. Can I tap your expertise, Jerry, in and go back just a second? Let's say there is a political decision made by Norway to do more business with the European Union as opposed to the UK, and that has knock-on effects for our energy supply. And let's say that happens in October, November, right? That really hits our price, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't necessarily hit our price. Our price is going to be hit anyway, in that at the moment, gas prices in the UK market, which includes Ireland, are significantly lower than they are in continental Europe because the UK, with its good LNG facilities, import facilities, is, you know, awash with gas to a certain extent at the moment. Now, when things tighten up, there is a significant risk that prices here will rise to continental levels, which are about 50% higher than where they are in this market at the moment.
My God. And is the €4,500 figure that's been quoted in the media today, is that about right?
Well, it's obviously it depends on the individual house and they vary. And indeed in Ireland, our houses are significantly bigger than the UK average house size. So you can take the UK figures and increase them, you know, reasonably reflecting the larger house sizes here.
Oh my God. So you're saying it could be more?
It could potentially be more.
Oh my goodness. Is LNG, you mentioned, liquefied natural gas, that's the supply that they have in the UK.
Yes.
But for example, in the Shannon project to import LNG, that's highly controversial here. Is that something we should take a look at again, I wonder?
Well, if you take Germany, which had shied away from LNG import facilities for years and had objections to them, etc., they are now planning 5 import facilities. So effectively, they've realised that they left themselves wholly exposed to Russia. And with no LNG import facilities of their own. And they are now scrambling as fast as they can to remedy that situation. And indeed, they, you know, they do, the new facilities will not need environmental impact statements and various other things, so that they can be delivered quickly.
But the Green Party would say, and you've been hearing the debate, which is highly, very tense in the Marathon negotiation around climate, carbon emission targets, for example, over the last 24 hours or so, we want to move away from fossil fuels. And if you invest in LNG plants, you're actually attaching yourself to them for a decade or more.
The responsible minister in Germany is a Green Party member.
You say that answers that.
Well, put it this way. We are, if you look across Europe, Ireland has the sixth highest gas demand per capita in Europe, primarily because of the amount of gas we use for power generation. There are 20 countries in the EU with underground gas storage facilities. In the case of Austria, they have up to 100 or 300 days storage capacity. We are the one that doesn't have any underground storage facilities at this stage. We used to have in the Kinsale field, but the Kinsale field has been decommissioned, and indeed the platform structures, etc., have been taken away this year.
Okay. Can I ask you really quickly, right? I have two more questions, but whenever we discuss this with members of government, they point to renewables. Is that an answer in the short term?
Well, renewables are an answer to, you know, we'll be praying that the wind blows in Ireland well this year. It's been very poor for the last week. But renewables certainly help, but they're not helping with price in the way they should. The vast bulk of renewables in wind power in the country was developed with financial assistance under what's called a renewable energy feed-in tariff. Mm-hmm. And this gave wind power developers a guaranteed index-linked price for their wind. And that gave them effectively the ability to bank or to finance their developments. The problem is, in Ireland, we put no ceiling on that tariff. Other countries did. So now, when gas prices were one-fifth of what they are at the moment, and gas-fired electricity was significantly cheaper than the wind power tariff, the wind power people were getting their tariff. Now that gas prices are, you know, substantially higher than the wind power tariff, they're getting the gas tariff, the gas-based price.
Okay.
So the customer has not benefited from the very considerable subsidies that were provided to the wind farm developers over the years.
Okay.
In terms of current prices.
You previously worked with ESB. Can I ask you, and Sarah will talk to Richard Boyd Barrett in just a second about this. Bord Gáis announced an operating profit of nearly 40 million euro.
That's Bord Gáis Energy.
Bord Gáis Energy, okay. And there is a distinction. Nonetheless, 40 million euro for 2022, an increase of 74% of the previous year. Is there a case to be made there for a windfall tax?
Well, I would say there's a case to be made for looking at a windfall tax for all those who have wind farm assets which were developed using the subsidised or the refit tariff. And that includes quite a number of people other than Bord Gáis. I mean, Bord Gáis attributed the increase in profitability to the fact that their Whitegate CCGT unit came back online. But I think if you looked in depth, you would find that their wind farms perhaps made a bigger contribution to the profitability.
Well, look, Gerry Duggan, you're a veteran of the Irish energy sector, as I say, formerly of ESB and now a fellow of the Irish Academy of Engineering. And I must say, you give us a sobering assessment of what's ahead for every single Irish family in the next few months. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.